Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to Psalm 47. I'd like to read you this psalm and talk a little bit about praising the Lord this evening with understanding, our perspective of it, what the Lord expects from us, and our view of praising Him and praising Him properly. So I'd like to read this to you, and then I'd like to just kind of review some of the things that are held in Scripture and give us some perspective sometimes on properly praising the Lord. Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone out with a shout, gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. The Lord reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Father, I ask you now to help me to communicate these truths that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, that I would say what is proper and right. And Lord, that your name this evening might honestly be magnified. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. I was witnessing, I was talking with a guy one time who eventually became a Christian, and I was talking with him about the Lord, and he said to me, he said, why should I worship God? He said, why should I, you Christians, you claim to worship God. Why should I, what is all this worship about? Why do I have to worship God? Can't God just kind of be up there and I be down here and he does his thing and I do my thing and I want to just kind of go along here. God, yeah, he's okay and all that and I'm okay and why can't we all get along kind of thing? And then, to be honest with you, I didn't have a right answer for that. I didn't have the proper answer to be able to give that back to him. And so, I thought it would, sometimes we as Christians, we run into these very same things with other people and even in our own lives. Sometimes the devil will come to us and he'll make us question. He'll say, why do you worship God? What's the reason that you're worshiping the Lord? What's this whole thing really all about? Especially when we're kind of down and out. So I thought it would be appropriate for us to look at how God's creatures worship him. And I thought it would be appropriate in the scriptures, as we took a look at various scriptures, as to how the other creatures worship the Lord, and then for us to consider how we would magnify the Lord and how we would praise the Lord in our lives. So I'm going to ask you to first turn to Revelation chapter 4, obviously the last book in the Bible. But I'd like to read to you Revelation 4, 8 through 11. And kind of our leaping off point there. The four living creatures, each having six wings. This is a picture of what John sees and saw in heaven. He was caught up to heaven, and this is what he saw. Matter of fact, I really ought to start at verse 1 so we get a proper context of this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So he sees a throne set in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, and appearance was like an emerald. Very glorious, obviously. He's trying to use earthly words to describe a heavenly thing. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, the four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. Now, this must be a staggering sight, these living creatures that have eyes all in front and all in the back. So obviously they can see everything all the way around. Verse 7, and the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature was like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, watch this now, what these living creatures say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, that's honestly, that's the past, who was, who is, present, and in the future to come. They're declaring that the Lord God is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then as they continue on, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, here's my real punchline where I'm going to be going tonight. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Here's the big word, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. For, or that word could be easily transposed as because. Maybe if you use the word because, it makes it a little bit clearer. It says, you're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power because you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. The angels that are standing before the Lord, the 24 elders that are round about the Lord, declare that he has created all things, and by him all things consist, and they are created. That is the reason that the angels are able to praise the Lord. This is a very logical thing. Now, when you think about this for a minute, it's very logical to be able to magnify the Lord, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to lift up the Lord, because he created all things. And I was thinking about this after I left that individual, why I didn't have a right answer to be able to communicate that to him, but because I didn't realize that this is a major part of why we are to worship the Lord. And when you understand this, when we praise him with understanding, we can praise him from our hearts because he is worthy to be praised, because frankly, he created us. And if he didn't create us, we wouldn't even exist. We wouldn't even be here to praise him. We wouldn't be here to have an understanding. We wouldn't be here to understand that there's a world that God created, that there's a universe that he created. There's stars and there's mountains and there's rivers and all of these various things he has created. And if we sit back and think about it for a minute, 100 years ago in the year 1910, just 100 years ago, I didn't exist. And there's not a person in this room that existed 100 years ago. My mom didn't even exist. My mom was born in 1920. My mom didn't even exist in the year 1910, 100 years ago. 100 years from now, no matter what happens on this earth, whether we continue to live, whether the Lord returns, whether it's the United States of America, whatever, it doesn't matter. 100 years from now, none of us in this room will be here. None of us. Every single one of us are going to either die or we're going to be caught up together to be with the Lord in the event that the Lord comes during the next 100 years. Guaranteed. Okay? So the Lord created us. He gave us life. So therefore, he is worthy to be praised, because if we weren't here, we wouldn't even exist. So the very fact that he created us, the very fact that he created life, he is worthy to be praised. And that's what I got out of this logically. And I said to myself, well, how can I further expand this? Okay. And who is doing this creating, all right, that actually did all of the creating here? And now let's take a look in Revelation 15. Go up a little deeper into the book of Revelation. Revelation 15. Revelation Revelation 15:1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. This is when he's going to be pouring out his wrath. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And when I saw something like the sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Now, I'm going to look back here at this part in verse 3. It says, great and marvelous are your works. And so these are basically the attributes of God. Some of his works are his attributes. I would just like to list them out, a couple of them very briefly, then I want to move on. But for this context here tonight, for this individual that said this to me, why should we praise the Lord? And he actually said to me, is God on some kind of like ego trip that we have to praise him? Is he like an ego head that everybody has to bow before him? Is this what God's all about? And then, so I honestly didn't have the right answers. But you know, the real answer is God's not on an ego trip. He's trying to teach us where he is, who he is, where we are, okay, and who we really are. That's what this Bible really is all about, who we really are, that we are actually really sinful creatures in front of a true and living God that is pure and he's holy. He existed forever. At some point in the universe, in time, we don't want to call it time because it's not that, but at some point in existence, I should say it like that, he actually chose to create this earth. The Bible says that he spoke this world into existence. He just spoke it and it came about. And then for that, when we think about it, he really is worthy to be praised because he did these things. Okay, in verse 3 here it says, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. He actually did these things. He actually created this earth totally out of nothing, placed man on it, okay, and to teach us that we are creatures, that he is the creator, and therefore we are to worship him in spirit and in truth in our hearts, because the Bible says in John 4, that God desires for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. The reason he's able to do that is because he created us. We are his creatures. That's the truth. We are his property. We are his, all right? And then those of us that are saved are his to much a greater degree because we're actually even purchased with his blood. We're actually his, so therefore we're able to praise him. The unsaved people, they can't praise the Lord. They have no knowledge of this, just like that person I was talking to before they got saved. All right, they had no knowledge of being able to praise the Lord because they just can't see it like that. They didn't see that he was worthy to be praised because they thought that they were created by bugs and amoeba and the Big Bang and all that kind of foolishness. You know, by the way, this afternoon I was on my computer just looking up the news. I clicked onto Yahoo, and on the front page of Yahoo, there's a big thing on there that they now know where life came from. Okay, so of course I wanted to read this article. So it says that there's some kind of chemical that they have discovered called, with a real, real long name, you know. And by the way, if it has a real long name, you're not supposed to trust it. And if it's a real long name, you're not supposed to eat it either, you know. But the initials for that were ATP. ATP, okay, was this chemical, and the chemical was supposed to have da 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 da, all that kind of stuff. A real big long article, and at the end of it, it says that this is what created life. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. It's just absolutely ridiculous because nobody could ever create life. They can't create life. The closest we've ever come to creating life has been in a Frankenstein movie where they jolt the guy with electricity and he jumps up, you know. That's about it. You know, by the way, that's been man's goal all along, always to create life and to try this kind of thing. The Bible says the true and living God spoke this universe into existence. He is our God, he is our creator, and therefore we are responsible to him. I'm going to ask you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And tonight, I want you to think about praising the Lord properly, praising him with understanding for what he actually has done. Colossians chapter 1. If you have trouble finding it, you always remember GEPC, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, like General Electric Power Company. Honestly, I remember it like that. I really do. It's real easy for me. GEPC, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those are little things that help me get through the Bible. All the T's are together. All the T's are together. The Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. The little things like that that help you be able to maneuver through the Scriptures a little easier. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, let me ask you a real simple question. Who shed his blood that we would have redemption? What's his name?
Jesus,
that's it. What's his name? His name is Jesus, okay? Now I want you to watch through the... I want you to back up for a second. I want you to look at verse 13. Now we know it's talking about Jesus. I want you to watch the he's. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the king... Pardon? Oh. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that's Jesus, and forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, now I want you to watch this, I want you to really zero in here for the next three verses. For by him, all things were created, that are in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. I'm going to go through this in a minute, but there's something, this is a staggering statement when you think about this. This Jesus, who was up in heaven, came down to this earth, okay, and permitted himself to be spit upon for my personal sins. He permitted himself to be beaten for my personal transgressions and for my... And for my wickedness and for the evil things that I have done to others and frankly and said about him. Okay, before I was saved, I had a filthy, filthy, foul mouth that, praise the Lord, God has changed my mouth when I became a Christian. I don't know if I told this story how I hit my head real hard. I was down at work. I used to work at Wriggle Paper when I was first a Christian. And I was working in a machine, and I had to get in this machine to straighten up some things that were wrong with it. And the machine had to be opened up. It had to be opened up this way, and it was this way. It was a big roll rack machine. They used to roll real big rolls of paper up about the size of the pew here. There was a real big rolls that they used to use for Kellogg to wrap the cereals in for the kids. And great big rolls of paper, and sometimes the paper in the machine would become broken, and the paper would fly all over the place. Well, I was a new kid on the block, so my job was to get in the machine and clean up all the paper, what was called the broken paper, and throw it away. And so I climbed in the machine, and I had done this 100 times. And then so the guys opened it up to the left, to the right, and then they opened it up the top to the bottom, and I was climbing around on the inside getting all the paper out. Well, they start to close it up. I know that. That was just as normal as every day, okay? And they lowered the top down, and that was as normal every day. I did this 100 times before. But this particular time, I was down here cleaning the paper up, and I stood up real hard, and I forgot. I hit my head real, real hard right after I got saved, okay? And I stood there. I really did. On the inside of this machine, I stood there. I whacked my head so hard. I think it's the hardest I ever hit my head in my life. And I went like, praise God, I didn't swear. That was my reaction to it, which it really was. It was fantastic because the Lord used that, me hitting my head real hard, okay, to show me that I didn't swear. And that was the first time that that had happened. Okay. And so for that, I mean, I just praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful that I hit my head, you know, because he showed me through that, that I was now a new person in Christ. And that was just one of the many, 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 many steps that he used to help change my life. But the truth is, he took that out of me. Okay. Now, how was he able to do that? He was able to do that because he's my creator. He can do anything. This is the God that can still the waters on the seas. This is the God who's created absolutely everything, as we're going to review as we take a look at here at Colossians 1:15 again, verse 16. Let me go over this with you slowly. For by him, Jesus, all things were created. Now think about that. By Jesus, this precious Jesus, everything in this earth, everything in heaven was created by him. This Jesus who walked on this earth and was spit upon and beaten for Tom Fox's sins and your sins too, if you trust him as your Lord and Savior. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Okay, now visible, obviously the things we can see. Visible, invisible, the things we can't see. We can't see the angels. We can't see the demons. All right, but the Bible teaches that there are angels around us. In Hebrews, in the first chapter, second chapter of Hebrews, it says that the angels are ministering spirits unto us who are the heirs of salvation. I personally believe, because of that verse, it teaches that I believe that the Bible teaches that I have an angel. Okay, that I believe every one of us here that are saved has an angel that watches over us, who is a ministering spirit unto us. Okay, to help protect us and guard us and keep us from the wicked one and all of the various things that the Lord wants done. I believe this angel is actually there to help us. I can't see this angel though, all right, but I really believe with all my heart he's there. I really believe there's demons, real demons, that actually that fell from heaven, that sinned in heaven. There's actually real demons, okay? I believe there's a real place called heaven. I can't see it, all right, but I know it's there. But the Bible says that he created all things, whether visible, whether I can see them or not, okay, or invisible, okay, whether I can see them or not. He has created all of these things. How? We're going to see this a little bit later on. Clue you in real easy? By the word of his power. He just spoke it, and everything was there. The staggering power of our God. Okay, that he is actually able to do all of these things. Therefore, he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. And now I can praise him with understanding because I realize that he is actually the creator of everything. I am his created being. Okay, I have no right to be here on this earth. I have no right to existence. I have no right to anything. I have no right to my health. I have no right to the wife that God has given me. I have no right to the children that God's given me. I have no right to my friends. I have no right to anything. All of these things are blessings. They're just blessings that God has heaped upon me and given to me and given to me and given to me and given to me. We have so much in Jesus that frankly, honestly, we take it for granted. Okay, I know that I do. I take it for granted. I don't believe him like I should. I'm not that guy in the Bible. I pray this. I really do at home. I pray this. I say, Lord, I believe, but honestly, help my unbelief. Okay, because I don't believe like I should. I don't love him like I should. I don't praise him like I should. But hopefully this will help to show us that we're just a created individuals here for a short, limited period of time. And at some point in the future, as Pastor Sean read tonight, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Okay, it's good. That, by the way, is going to be the Big Bang. There is going to really be a Big Bang. It didn't happen in the past, but it's coming in the future. Okay, we read about it there in 2 Peter 3. Okay, the heavens and earth are going to pass away with a what? Well, the Bible says great noise. But it does say great noise. But we'll go for the Big Bang. That's right. That's right. Amen. That's true. That's exactly what's going to happen. And but we need to praise him. We need to sit back and recognize who our God really is, that he has created us out of nothing. And we need to bow our hearts before him and thank him for what he's done for us. Let's continue on this. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, the demons, the angels, God himself has created even Satan the devil. Satan the devil is a created being. He's like a dog on a leash. You get a dog. You find some barking dog sometime on a leash. Just pretend that barking dog is the devil, and that leash that's holding him back there, that's a bunch of angels, and wherever that dog is anchored to, that's the Lord. The devil is the Lord's devil. Remember that. The devil is in a competition for your soul or something like that. He wants to try to hurt you because he can't get to God. The only way he can really hurt God, is really to hurt you. That's because the Lord loves you so much. Okay? I could never, ever... I'm trying to describe somebody kidnapping a little kid. Okay, I could never imagine the pain that the parents must feel. Okay, when a child is kidnapped, all right, you hear these kids that are kidnapped and eventually they're killed and all this kind of stuff. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine the pain that would go through somebody's heart like that. That's the way to get to the parents. Okay, if you were a rich person and somebody kidnapped your kid, you just give it up right away. If the guy says he says I want $1 million, and you say, look, all I got is 732. That's all my life savings, 732,000. Instantly, you would give it up for your child, all right, because you love your child. The devil seeks to torment us and hassle us and give us a hard time because that's the only way that he knows he can get back to the Lord. He can't get at God. God is God. God is his creator. But he can torment us sometimes. So therefore, that's one of the things he actually does do is torment us, because he has access to us at this point in time. But that'll end too at some point in the future when the Lord deals with him. But the Lord, that's what I'm trying to say is that he has created all principalities and powers. These evil powers that are out there, they're having their day today. They will have it today, but at some point in the future, that's going to wind up. All things, look at the rest of this, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus is before all things. Now, I said this before in a Sunday school class I taught. If you were here, I'm going to go over this again. If you took all things out of existence, I want you to go back in time, back through the universe. I want you to take everything out of existence that God ever made. I want you to take out the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars. That's all gone. Okay? Now take out heaven, the heaven of heavens where the Lord is. Take out his throne. Take out the angels. Take out the streets of gold. Take out everything. Take everything away. What do you have left? Truthfully, you have the Lord. The Lord is eternal. He always was, he is, and he always will be. The Lord himself always was. He created every single thing in this universe. He is before, the Bible says he is before all things. If before him in existence, if you could imagine from this point forward, back in eternity, okay, that everything from here back, okay, that if you would take it out of existence, there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there at all. The Lord took everything out of existence, if you could imagine that for a moment, because he created all things. Now, as you put them back into existence as he did, as he made them, therefore, that's why we have what we have today, because simply the Lord created everything. But who's the one that created it? That's the important part I'm really trying to drive into tonight, is it's Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Okay, this one who walked on this earth, okay, who permitted us to be able to talk with him. This is the true and the living God. And Sean hit my goal verse this morning. He didn't realize this, but because of for the lack of time here, I'm going to actually have you go here so I make sure I don't miss this. I want to show you what my goal is. It's Matthew 28. When Sean was reading this morning, I want to show you what my goal in life is. And we all have goals. I have hopes and dreams and all that sort of stuff. And when you work in a business or you're married, you have children and you want to save and all that kind of stuff, you want to do better. Everybody has goals. We all have goals and hopes and dreams for tomorrow and everything. But I want to show you honestly at this point in my life right now what my goal is. And honestly, this is really my only goal is right here, Matthew 28, verse 9. Okay, this is my goal for the rest of my days and where I intend to be. Matthew 28, 9. And as they said, and as they went, let me start reading back here in verse 6, verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he was going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went, here, I'm going to slow it down now. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Honestly, that is my goal. If that is my hope and my dream. When I get to heaven, I don't know if they ask the question, what do you intend to do here? But that's what I really do. I intend to worship the Lord. I intend to thank him for dying on the cross for my sins. I intend to be able to, honestly, I've even thought about this, how I'm going to do this, to hold on to his ankles and worship him there and praise his name because he saved me. He made me a new person. He changed my heart. He made me into a different person than what I used to be. Okay. By the way, while we're here in Colossians, I just got a couple minutes. Let me just show you one thing. I got to jump you back here to Colossians and show you something that is absolutely staggering. I have I got bunches of verses. I'm not going to get anywhere tonight. But I want to show you something here in Colossians that has just floored me. Okay, I learned this about 6 or 8 months ago. The Pastor Tom taught from this pulpit this statement. Okay, in Colossians 1:22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. This message tonight is about praising the Lord with understanding. We need to praise him because he created us. That's the thrust of what I'm trying to say here. We didn't have an existence. He created us out of nothing, but he created us that we would magnify and glorify his name. But I want to show you something else, that what he also did to as a result of his creating us. He is going to present you, according to this verse, holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now, honestly, I know me. You don't know me like I know me, okay? I'm a very sinful guy in my mind. I think a lot of sinful and stupid thoughts. I think most of us do too, okay, because the devil zeroes in on us and throws us these zingers and these fiery darts and make us say stupid things and sinful things and have sinful ideas, okay. But imagine this, that Jesus is going to present Mike Keeley, present Mickey, okay, present Scott. He is going to present us before himself, before the throne, holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. I know that I'm not holy. Honestly, I know that I'm not holy. I know that I'm not blameless. And I know that I'm not above reproach. But that's how good my God is to me. He loves me so much, okay? He loves me so much that all he sees in me is good. It's like, you know how your mom is? Your mom just sees nothing but good in you. Yeah. Even to this day, my mom's 90 years old. And mom says, "Oh, this and that." I said, "Oh, Mom." It's just, I even said to her today, I said, it's just being mom, you know. That moms, that's how moms are. They just see nothing but good in their kids. The kid can be the worst brat in town, you know. But they see nothing but good in their mom, in their kids, all right? This is how the Lord is with us, okay? The Lord Jesus sees us, okay, and he loves us. He cares for us. He wraps us in his love, all right? He sees you and I as holy. We know we're not holy. He sees us blameless, okay? We know we're not blameless. And he sees us honestly as above reproach. I know that I'm not above reproach, and I know none of you are either. But that's how the Lord honestly sees us. Holy and blameless and above reproach. Based on these verses, these little things here tonight, can you praise him with understanding? Amen. We can praise our God with understanding. We can get down alongside of our bed. We can say, praise your name, Lord, because you are holy and you've made me holy. You are blameless and you've made me blameless. Okay? And you are above reproach. Jesus really is above reproach. But he's given me the nature of himself. So now I'm above reproach only because of what he's done. I have nothing. 100 years from now, nobody's going to care about anything. Only Jesus is going to care about us. We're to praise him. We're to worship him. He truly, truly is worthy to be worshipped. He's God. And he loves us. Really loves us in our hearts. He really loves us. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to praise you this evening for sending Jesus, this precious Jesus who cares for us, who loves us, who created this world out of nothing, spoke this world into existence. Lord, that someday we're going to be able to stand before you. Lord, someday I pray that my brothers and sisters have the same goal, that we'll be able to bow before you and hold you by the ankles and worship you as the true and living God. We're going to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, be able to lift your name up and love you, Lord Jesus, forever and ever and ever. That's the greatest thing, Lord, is we're going to always be absent from our bodies and always be present with our Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.